I have talked about this one time before, but it is such a powerful part of the Word of God, and it addresses a question which has puzzled man. And if there are two things that I have seen that keep people away from God, this subject of that's addressed here is one of those two. The first thing is, of course, that most people think they're good enough to go to heaven. The second thing is people are always puzzled by why the suffering exists. And why is there pain? You hear it described many different ways, but it essentially all boils down to that. Those are by far and large, in my opinion, in my experience, the two things that keep most people away from God. They can't understand suffering and they think they're good enough. The story of Job is all about that suffering. We know what precedes these 38 chapters is Job goes through a very extreme time in his life. He loses everything that's dear to him at first, and then he comes down with just incredible sickness in his body. And he's just tormented with this sickness in his body. And he goes through all the same things that we go through when things happen to us. And so before we begin to read, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, I just ask for your help this day as I bring forth your word, Lord, and I pray, Father, that it would be a blessing to everyone who hears it, Lord, and that you would give me strength and the anointing to do it the way you want me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin to read. Well, before we do, I should set this up a little bit more. After Job has all of his questions, and we too have all those questions too, when we begin to go through difficult things, it seems to be a natural human thing that we begin to go through this process of, and often it involves questioning, why did this happen to me? Have I done something wrong? Is God angry at me? Does God not love me anymore? Does God not hear my prayers anymore? There's this natural, it seems to be this natural progression of things that begin to happen in us. And they're all along the lines of does God care and does God love and does He hear? And why me? I thought I was good enough. How come this is happening to me? And what have I done wrong? There's all these questions. And Job has a lot of these questions if you read through the first 38 chapters. And he has friends there that are supposed to be helping and they're not really that helpful. And finally, after it seems like God endures all of this questioning and bad advice for so long, he finally says, okay, enough is enough. And in these chapters, 38 through 41, absolutely amazing chapters, because God begins to describe things that He did, He created, that are so far ahead of the time of the writing of this. Job is considered, as far as writing goes, one of the oldest written books of the Bible. Doesn't mean that he was first. It means that it was written first. Of course, Adam and Eve and Genesis, everything there, that's all first chronologically. But the writing, Job is considered the oldest. And at that time, most of these things, many of these things, were not even in the discovery of man yet. And yet they are all here. And so there was a purpose of that. And before we begin to read, think of the setup here. Job is suffering greatly. He's lost everything. He really is kind of hopeless at this point. Asking all the questions that we ask. And this is God's response.
This is God's response to why am I suffering so much? This is God's response to why am I suffering so much? Verse 38, chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone?" It seems like a strange answer to the question of why am I going through all this? Why am I suffering? Why am I hurting so much? Why has this come upon me? It seems like a very odd answer because it really doesn't even address the question. It really doesn't even address his complaint. And it seems like this is not the way to answer a suffering person the way Job was suffering. Then we look at it a little closer. Because in all the doubts and all the questions and all the reasoning as to what's going on, we see little bits and pieces of things that we can get out of it. So after all this, God kind of almost seems a little like, okay, I'm going to question you, you're going to answer me. And then he starts asking him questions that are like impossible to answer. Like, where were you when the earth was founded? Where were you, to what did I hang the earth on? I mean, these are fascinating questions, right? These are fascinating things. What did I hang the earth on is one of those things in here. And it's talking about gravity. I mean, this wasn't discovered until this 20th century, right? I mean, this wasn't understood. And even this week, we heard there was a new discovery which shed more light on gravity. So even in this week, there's more information about gravity. But yet, God is asking Job, thousands and thousands of years ago, do you understand it? I mean, it took Einstein to develop a theory. And it took many people after him to add to it. And it's still not fully understood. This is part of God's answer to why am I suffering? And if we think about it, God asks him several times, do you understand this? Do you get it? Do you understand this? Do you understand what I'm doing here? And do you understand what I'm doing here? And by the way, there is no 30-minute sermon that is going to answer this question satisfactorily. This question has been the subject of hundreds, if not thousands, of books that have been written. Man has been wrestling with this forever. And so there is not going to be one answer which answers all questions or even satisfies them. This is what God does to Job, a man who certainly was suffering greatly. And in it, he basically keeps asking him over and over through this part, do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know this impossible thing? And in it, he's basically telling him, you're asking and you're talking about things way, way, way beyond what you can possibly understand. There are things and there are reasons for all of the difficulties that you go through which you cannot possibly understand. You would need to understand gravity. You would need to understand how the planets move. You would need to understand all of these these things to be able to be in the lead to begin to understand why you're suffering. It is something that God has allowed,
and we just might not be bright enough to understand it at this time in this age.
Now, that's not a satisfying answer, because when we don't understand, we tend to get angry. When we don't understand, we tend to question. We think that we're bright enough to understand everything around it, and we should be. We think we should be able to understand. But God tells Job, no, you don't understand. You can't understand. You don't have the ability to understand fully what I'm doing. And he proves it to him by saying, surely you understand. Do you understand how big the earth is? Do you understand how it hangs in its balance? Do you understand all that stuff? And Job has to say, no, I don't. Eventually he does say, no, I don't get it. He says, surely you know. You know what the foundations of the earth? Surely you know. Job has to concede and say, no, I don't know. It's kind of like this. Have you ever
taken a kid to the doctor? And the kid might be sick, and he has to, and maybe the doctor has to draw blood, and the kid's not really ready for it, and all of a sudden he gets stuck, and he's crying, and he doesn't get it. And all he sees is that this guy in the white coat has caused me a lot of pain. And he doesn't quite understand it. And what might happen is that the next time the child has to go to the doctor, he might recognize the place, and he might not want to go there anymore. He might be scared of that doctor. He might be mad at the doctor. He might be mad at his mom for taking him to the doctor or dad. He might have all kinds of reservations about it. He might sweat. He might all these kinds of things. And that's kind of the way it is with us. That doctor has a good purpose in mind. That doctor has a good plan in mind. That parent has a good motive in mind. But the little child doesn't understand it. All he feels is the pain. All he feels is the hurt. All he has is a bunch of questions in his mind, and all he wants to do is stay away. Right? This is the way it is with us. And God, when we go through difficult things often as well. Because we don't quite get it. So our natural reaction is we might get upset. And our natural reaction is we don't want to go. And our natural reaction, if somebody talks about the doctor, we don't want to hear.
I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to see the doctor. I don't want anything to do with him.
And this is the reaction of so many people in the world, because they just don't understand what they think they should. They think they should understand their suffering, but God tells Job, it is way over your head. It is way beyond what you can get.
It is way beyond, and you're trying to understand something that you just might not be able to get this side of the age.
And we have plenty of examples of that.
You ever bring a dog to a vet? I mean, yeah, the first time they're okay. The second time they seem to just know. They're pulling at that leash. They don't want to go anywhere near that office. That seems to be the way we are as well. The same kinds of attitude. But yet, they have a good thing in mind. A good thing in mind. A good plan. A helpful plan. And sometimes even if we know, we like to know the end result. We like to know where it's going, and sometimes God doesn't tell us exactly where it's going. We like to know, and many times we can endure something if we know where it's going.
Think about all the people who unfortunately have to go through some sort of cancer treatment, and they have to endure chemo, or they have to endure some painful therapy or some painful operation, and there's a recovery time. And we know it's a good thing, and we know that there's something good at the end, and so we endure the difficulty. We might not like it, but we endure it because we understand what happens at the end. At the end, we'll be healthier. At the end, we might be free from some sickness. At the end, we'll endure this for a time because at the end, there's something good. But if we don't know that there's something good and we don't know what comes out at the other end, we don't like to endure. If we're not sure what's going to happen at the end, we don't like to endure. But there are many things, and we go through all kinds of things in life. We pay the price up front because we know what's coming at the end. We go through college, we go through years of studying, years of giving up our lives, you know, to dedicate to one thing so we can get a better job at the end of it. We see people in the military going through the training, some of them volunteering to be like elite forces. They go through torture so that they can come out on the other end with something that they desire. But when we don't know, and we don't understand and we don't get it, it's much more difficult to go through the suffering. But God tells us in His Word that the trials of this life are just light and momentary afflictions which are producing for us a more eternal weight, an eternal benefit in us. He's saying that all the things you go through, they're like the training time. They're to produce a good purpose, but it might be in eternity that you get the full reward of it, because it is producing an eternal benefit in you, the light and momentary affliction, as the Bible calls it. And Paul is the one who says this, and he went through a lot of things. He went through beatings and stonings and a shipwreck. He was in the deep. He had no food. He had no clothing. Nights and nights of sleeplessness. And he calls all of that in his summary light and momentary afflictions. And sometimes we just can't see how anything good can come of this. You can't see, you just don't understand. And it's largely because of this question that God keeps repeating over and over to Job. Do you understand? Do you understand? Of course you don't understand. Do you get it? And sometimes, have you ever been there in your life where you're so puzzled by something and then all of a sudden you get one little piece of information and then all of a sudden the whole thing makes sense? You ever been there where you're puzzled by something? You say, it doesn't make sense. I can't get it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's what it is. That's how it works. We're missing that aha moment in our lives. This happens in hundreds of different ways where things don't make sense. I remember one time, a silly little example is that there was we moved something, and on one of the rugs in our house, the movement of this thing caused a bunch of stains to be on the floor. And so I went and I got a little rug cleaner, and I was going to clean up the different spots. And so I'm on my hands and I'm on my knees and I'm washing through spots, and they're coming out one by one. It's good. And then I get to one and it's not coming out. And I'm scrubbing and I'm scrubbing and it's not coming out. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the matter? Everything else looked okay. But this one wasn't changing. It was still gray. And I keep going and going, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, this can't be. You know, I'm looking around, everything else looks good, but this one, it's just not budging. And then I happened to hit a table that was next to me, and on the table was a little light. And my wife likes all these little frou-frou-y type things. And so hanging around the edge of the lamp was these little crystal things. And then I noticed the crystal was shining a shadow on the ground that I'm trying to I'm trying to roll out a shadow out of our carpet. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, that would make sense.
I'm trying to clean a shadow. And it was never going to work. But until I got it, I was puzzled. Until that happened, I would have been there probably for another 15, 20 minutes and left frustrated, saying, it doesn't work, what's the matter with me? But then all of a sudden, the understanding came, and it was like, oh, you're not so bright. You're not so smart after all. And that's the way it is often with our suffering. And that's why God tells Job, do you understand? Do you get it? Were you there when I did what I did? I'm going to jump over to the same chapter, Job 38 and verse number 31. 38:31. Job 38:31, as God continues, is really fascinating. We're not going to read all three of these chapters, but just for fascinating reading, go through them. They're really neat. I mean, the things that God says. He continues, this is God. He says, can you bind the cluster of Pleiades, star constellations, or loose the belt of Orion, star constellations? Okay? Can you bring Maseroth in its seasons? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Here's God telling him, can you do these things? And what I get out of that is, it's kind of like an interviewer interviewing someone. He's looking for the qualified person. If you can't answer these questions, then you're not qualified to do the things that you say you're doing. Can you do these things? Can you understand? Can you understand the movement of the stars? Can you put them in motion? Can you do that? Do you understand how to make lightning go where you want it to go? Does lightning ask you where it should go? Because God is saying it asks him. God is saying, yeah, I could do that. And just like an interviewer asks you questions and asks you, can you do the job that you say you can do? That's kind of what God is doing to Job. He's saying, well, if you want to understand suffering, can you also understand lightning? Can you also understand the stars and their constellation? Can you understand how the great bear moves its cub? Can you understand all that stuff? Well, if you can't understand that, don't think you're going to have all the questions or all the answers to your suffering. Now that might not be the answer we want to hear. But again, this is a man who's the example of suffering in the Bible. And this is how God answers him after 37 chapters of wondering. Can you? Can you? Can you? It's almost like God is saying, remember who God is. Remember who the God is in this relationship. He's the God, you're the not. He's the God, and you're not. He's the one who can do all things, and you're the one who can't do that. So it's almost like God is saying, remember who is God in this relationship. And he's saying, I am. And the other thing that he can get out of this is that all things are in his control. There's nothing beyond him. There's nothing that's too difficult for him. There's nothing that has slipped by him. So many of these things, I think about these things, and it's like maybe men never even wondered about them. Maybe Job never even paid attention. to the great bear and his cubs. Maybe Job never even paid attention to the deer and how the deer gives birth. But God says, yeah, I know. God says, I know. And he's telling him, he's reminding him, he is God and we are not. We're going to go over to Job 42 to hear Job's final response. Job chapter 42 and verse number 1. Because after going over and over and over and over, telling him one thing after another, things that he can't possibly understand, things that he can't possibly do, this is Job's final response. And before, and just remember that Job is still in the same place. He's not done suffering. His problems are still exactly the same as they were before. But this is what he says. 42:1. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you could do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is the response. This is the response from a man who's questioning, why me? Why am I going through this? Why the difficult things? God, do you care about me? God, do you know that all these things are happening to me? These are the questions that he's wrestling with. This is the way God answers him. And through that answer, Job comes to this conclusion. He says, I have uttered things too wonderful for me. He gets it. He gets it. After all of these questions, he gets it and says, too wonderful. Okay, maybe we don't use that terminology in that context anymore. He's saying, I've uttered things beyond what I can know. I've stepped into a place where I know that I am not going to be able to understand. I am talking about things which I don't get. He says, I understand that. That's what I get. I understand that I don't understand. I understand that the things that you do are way beyond me. I understand that the suffering that I question is above what I'm going to be able to comprehend. And somewhere in there he's also saying, I see, God, that you comprehend it all. I see, God, that you know it. I see, God, that you're in control of it. If you're in control of the plants, then you're in control of what's happening to me. If you're in control of the deer, then you're in control of what's happening to me. If you know how to draw a leviathan out of the deep, then you're in control of me. And you're in control of my situation. And you're the one that I want to go to. But for me, I realize that I am uttering things far too great for me. I'm realizing that I cannot understand what's going on. And he even goes beyond. And he says, I must repent of all of my questioning. I must repent of all of my little hissy fits that he might be going through during the time that he's venting to God. And God allows that. I mean, you see David's Psalms are filled with venting to God. God's big enough to handle that. But then eventually, as David, he always comes down to, okay, God is who he says he is, and we'll trust him. And very often,
the things God puts us through. Not always. Not always, because there's not a satisfying answer to this question. One that you're going to go away and say, oh, okay, suffering is wonderful. You're probably not going to come to that place, although the Bible does say that our trials are better than gold. Hard to imagine, but that's what it says. You can wrestle with that one. But through suffering, often we get to know God better. A revelation of God comes to us, just as it did to Job. A revelation of who God is often comes to us. A new understanding and a new facet of how amazing He is often available to us. Many people don't take it. Many people don't see it. Many people stay in their anger. Many people stay in their frustration. Many people stay in all the questioning and all the questioning and all the anger and all the wondering and all the trying to figure things out logically often keep us from understanding better who God is and what He really wants to do in our lives. But if we could submit ourselves, if we could humble ourselves, if we could take that attitude of Job and say, I just repent of everything that I've done and I abhor myself because I see how bad I am in relation to You. If we could do that, we often can see God in a new way, because He will often reveal Himself through the difficulties in our life. Just as He does, and just as He did with Job, He revealed Himself as this mighty Creator, this omnipotent God, this God who has even the little things in His control. I mean, question after question, thing after thing after thing after thing is talked about. Things that are way beyond us, even here in the 21st century, way beyond our thinking. But God had it all spelled out way back thousands and thousands of years ago. Things that man only dreams about and wonders about, God talks about in these chapters. He talks about a fire-breathing animal. You say, well, that's the thing of myth. Not to God. God said He created one. You can read it for yourself. If that doesn't get you to read these chapters, just out of curiosity alone. A fire-breathing animal. God has Job. Do you see him? So that means Job must have been able to see him. And through all of that, God reveals Himself for who He is, how great He is, how wonderful He is. And even though Job is still suffering, even though he's still suffering, He gets it. And when we understand, often our questions go away. And maybe we won't have to understand all of our suffering, but if we understand God and who He is through it, that would be enough. And it really comes down to a matter of trust. If you understand who God is, do you trust Him? If you understand that He can do all these things, you understand that He created everything, and you understand that everything is in His control, and you understand that He is the one behind the motion of everything and the cause of everything.
If you can understand that, do you trust Him to take care of you? Do you trust Him to take care of you and your issues as well? Do you trust Him to take care of the issues that are in your family? Do you trust Him to take care of all of the things that you had before Him? And when you can do that, then you'll be part of the number where the Bible says, when Jesus returns, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith on the earth? And that has become a little more real to me, because faith means that we haven't seen an answer. Faith means that we haven't seen an answer. And so God is looking for, is there faith there? Is there belief that He can do it? Is there belief in Him even when we don't see an answer? And He's looking to find faith on the earth. He's looking to find those who still believe Him, even though they don't have an answer. And even though it might not make sense. And even though we can't figure it out. That's what faith is all about.
It's the substance of things that are not seen. The evidence of things not seen.
Will he find faith on the earth when he returns? Will he find us believing even without our answers given? Our trust in him will grow. Look for God in all of your pain. Look for what God wants to reveal in your life and do in your life and show you more of him so that you, like Job, can understand him better. And through all of that, then our suffering will have a purpose. Our suffering will have an eternal purpose. Like the Bible says, our light and momentary affliction will work an exceedingly great reward, an exceeding great thing in our lives. His name be praised.